2 Kings chapter 3. And our text for this evening is of verse 11. But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not here a prophet of the Lord, that we may inquire of the Lord by him?" And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, "Here is Elisha, son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. Help for the helpless." Sometimes the helpless situations we may find ourselves in from time to time can be of our own making. That was the case with Jehoram, the king of Israel. We consider the conflict, because the conflict arose between Jehoram and Mesha, the king of Moab. You look there at verse 4. "Then Mesha, the king of Moab, was a sheep master, rendered unto the king of Israel 100,000 lambs and 100,000 rams with the wool. And it came to pass when Ahab was dead, the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel." That simply meant that up until the death of Ahab, Moab paid tribute to Israel. And when Mesha, the king of Moab, decided he wasn't paying any more tribute, that's when the conflict arose. As well as the conflict of the company, Jehoram feared that he and his army were not able, were not strong enough to go against the king of Moab and to defeat him. And so he looks for some help, someone to accompany him. We read in verses 6 and 7, the king and King Jehoram went out of Samaria the same time and numbered all Israel. And he went and sent to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, saying, "The king of Moab hath rebelled against me. Wilt thou go with me against Moab to battle?" Now here we have strange bedfellows. And this seems to have been a weakness with Jehoshaphat, because Jehoshaphat was a godly man. He was a man who feared God. He loved the Lord. Jehoram was a man who wrought evil in the sight of the Lord. And yet here we have Jehoram, the king of Israel, an ungodly man, going to Jehoshaphat, a godly man, and wanting his help. And this is what Jehoshaphat said, "I will go up. I am as thou art, my people as thy people, and my horses as thy horses." As we said, Jehoram was a very ungodly man. Wrought evil in the sight of the Lord, worshipped other gods, had no time for the God of heaven, had no time for the God of Israel. Yet here we see Jehoshaphat entering into an unequal yoke with Jehoram. Jehoshaphat, a godly man, Jehoram, an ungodly man. And we shall see that this unequal yoke brought trouble. Let this be a warning. As Paul has said, be not deceived. Evil, corrupt communication Evil communications corrupt good manners. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Communication. That word communication means a coming together. We emphasize often the need for the Christian to live a separated life. Yes, we're in the world, as the Lord has told us, but we're not off the world. We're not to be off the world. We're not to enter into an unequal yoke. And it was not good that Jehoram and Jehoshaphat came together in this unholy alliance. Because, as I said, it brought trouble. You notice, as well as the conflict, the company, there's also the choice. They deliberated on how they might go up against Moab together, and they made a choice. This is what they decided. That is Jehoram and Jehoshaphat. Verse 8. And he said, which way shall we go up? That is, go up against Moab. And he answered, that is, Jehoram answered, the way through the wilderness of Edom. That was the choice they made. We'll go up against Moab and we'll go the way through the wilderness of Edom. That was the choice, the decision they made. It proved to be a terrible mistake. Here we see how when people get into a hopeless situation and a helpless situation, it is often of their own making. And that's what happened here. They got into a helpless situation and it was of their own making because they made a choice, they made a decision, and they didn't consult the Lord. Jehoshaphat should have known that. May not expect Jehoram to consult the Lord since he didn't know the Lord. But Jehoshaphat did. And the decision they made, they would go up against Moab through the wilderness of Edom. Proverbs 14 verse 12 says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. Seem right to go this way against Moab. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And only the Lord intervened in his grace and mercy. These kings would have died, and it was of their own making. Instead of acknowledging the Lord in all their ways, they leaned upon their own understanding, and it was a terrible mistake. That leads now to the crisis. Upon choosing to go against Moab through the wilderness of Edom, they soon found themselves in a state of crisis, and they soon discovered they'd made a mistake. Verse 9, so the king of Israel went, and the king of Judah and the king of Edom, three kings. And they fetched a compass of 7 days' journey, and there was no water. Here's the crisis. They went through the wilderness, and there was no water for the host or for the cattle that followed them. There's the mistake that they made and where it led them. They were in the wilderness of Edom and there was no water for the kings, for their armies, or for their cattle. What were they to do? They couldn't go back and they couldn't go forward. They were in a helpless situation. And the king of Israel, Jehoram, said in verse 10, "Alas, that the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." Well, Jehoram, it was your idea. It was your decision. And the Lord, as we will see, the Lord intervened in this situation and brought help to the helpless. Let us learn from this. Let us not lean upon our own understanding. Let us consult the Lord. If we have a decision to make, a direction to go, we need to consult the Lord. Because so often, God's people do not consult the Lord, and they find themselves in a situation that was of their own making. And then they look to the Lord to deliver them out of that situation. That's what happened here. I want us, first of all, to consider the inquiry about Elisha. When the kings discovered that they had no water, they wondered what would become of them. First of all, notice the panic. Isn't that what usually happens? When we get ourselves into a situation or we get ourselves into a hole, we say, begin to panic. What are we going to do? We could save ourselves that panic if we consult the Lord first. Because the Lord and His Word would not lead us into such a situation. But we see Jehoram, he panics. He's the one who said, "Alas, that the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." Regarding his panic, notice his complaint. Do you notice something? Jehoram blames the Lord. For he said, "Alas, the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab." That was the problem. The Lord had nothing to do with it. It was Jehoram who went to the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat, and joined with him, and joined with the king of Edom. It was his idea. But now that things haven't turned out right, he blames the Lord for the predicament that they're in, when it was his plan to go against the Moabites, and he suggested that they go through the wilderness. He didn't consult the Lord or one of the Lord's prophets before he went against the king of Moab. This is so typical. It happens all the time when many make a decision without seeking the mind of the Lord on the matter. They get themselves into difficulty, and it's all the Lord's fault. Turn with me, please, to 1 Samuel 4. 1 Samuel chapter 4. It is in a common occurrence, as we see here in 1 Samuel 4. In the opening verses. "And the word of Samuel came to all Israel." He, of course, was their judge. "Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched beside Ebenezer." The Philistines pitched in Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines, and they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. That was a great loss. But verse 3, "And when the people were come into the camp, The elders of Israel said, "Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines?" Blame the Lord. But the Lord didn't tell them to go out against the Philistines. They didn't consult the Lord about whether or not they should go out against the Philistines. When David was engaged in a battle, he always consulted the Lord whether to go out against the Philistines, against the army or not. But here the people of Israel decided they would fight the Philistines. They left the Lord out of it, and whenever they lost 4,000 men, they blamed the Lord, saying, "Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines?" And then they went from one mistake to another. They said, "Let's fetch the Ark of the Covenant." The Ark of the Covenant was the symbol of God's presence. And they said, "Well, if we have the Ark of the Covenant with us, we must then have the Lord's presence." You know what happened. They went out with the Ark of the Covenant, the symbol of God's presence, and they suffered another terrible defeat, and the Ark of the Covenant was taken. At no time did they consult the Lord, and they suffered for it. So it was with Jehoram. That was the complaint. It was the Lord's fault. And then the calamity. When things didn't go according to plan, the king of Israel immediately thought about the dearth. No water. He thought about defeat. Moab will slaughter us. The Lord has brought us together to deliver us into the hand of the king of Moab. He panics. That's what he has done. Oh, it's terrible. Oh, what's going to happen to us now? We're going to be defeated. Moab is going to overrun us, and we'll be defeated. We'll be slaughtered. When he saw the predicament that he was in, he panicked. It's not what we do. We tend to look out. We tend to look around at all the problems around us when we should be looking up. We find here that Jehoram at no time looked up. He could see the Moabites. He could see that there was no water. They were in the wilderness. Death stared them in the face. Dear Christian, when we find ourselves in a predicament that we don't seem to have an answer for, let us look up. As Francis Ridley Havergal put it, "Hidden in the hollow of his blessed hand, never foe can follow, never traitor stand. Not a surge of worry, not a shade of care, not a blast of hurry touch the spirit there. Stead upon Jehovah. Hearts are fully blessed, finding, as he promised, perfect peace and rest." Let us ever be stead upon Jehovah. It was the panic, and then you have the prophet. It was at that stage that Jehoshaphat showed some wisdom. For he said there in the verse 11, "Is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him?" Is there not a man, is there not a prophet of God who can tell us what to do, who will receive a word from God, and who was able to tell us what we are to do? We find that a servant of King Jehoshaphat knew about Elisha. And here, the servant said, "Here, Elisha, Here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. And Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord's with him. He's the man. The word of the Lord is with him. So we look at Elisha. And as we see him here in this third chapter of 2 Kings, we see him first of all as a mediator. The word of the Lord is with him. And so the kings would go to Elisha, and Elisha would receive a word from the Lord. He acted as a mediator between God and the kings. And Jehoshaphat knew that he was a true prophet, that he could reveal the mind of God to them. As he said in verse 12, the word of the Lord is with him. We have a mediator. He is our Elisha. And when we find ourselves in trouble or in a predicament or in circumstances we don't know the way out of, praise the Lord, we have a mediator. There's one to whom we may go. And we can say, the word of the Lord is with him. We know that Christ, our mediator, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And when we go to him and inquire of the Lord Jesus will give us the word that we need to hear. Help for the helpless. In our helpless situations, we go to the Lord, we'll find help with him. He will help us. You notice also regarding the mediator, mention is made of his ministry. Because the servant of the king said, here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. In other words, this servant was saying, this man, Elisha, is a successor to Elijah. Because he used to serve the Lord and he was a servant of Elijah. He poured water on his hands. That's quite a menial task, isn't it? But that's what Elisha did for Elijah. As we know, he went with him wherever he went. And yet, here we find this man who once poured water upon the hands of Elijah has now been lifted up by the Lord. And now he's God's mouthpiece in Israel. You see, that's what the Lord will do. The Lord will lift up the humble. This is what Elisha did. He just put water in the hands of Elijah. The humble servant, carrying out a menial task. And the Lord lifted him up to be his man in Israel, to be the prophet of God. The Lord Jesus came from humble beginnings as well. Born in a manger. Born into a very poor family. But where is he now? Why, he's seated at the Father's right hand in glory. He's our mediator. He is our help in our helpless situations. We notice also the man. Jehoshaphat sought for a prophet whom he knew had the word of the Lord. There was such a man fit at that description. Here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat. There was many a prophet in the land at that time. But the Lord wasn't with them, and they didn't have the word of the Lord either. Jehoshaphat needed a man who had the word of the Lord, who was in touch with heaven, who could give them the word from God that they needed. In 1 Kings 22, there in verse 6, then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together about 400 men, and said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. This was Ahab. And he called his prophets. And his prophets said, they spoke for the Lord. And they told Ahab, you go up, you'll win the battle. But the word of the Lord wasn't really with them at all. Because what do we read in verse 28 of 1 Kings 22? In verse 28, Micaiah said, if thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me, said, hearken, O people, every one of you. And in verse 37, so the king died. Who had a word from the Lord? It wasn't Ahab's prophets. It was Micaiah, God's prophet, God's servant. Ahab's prophets told him that he could go up against the enemy and he'd be victorious. God's man, Micaiah, said, if you go up and you survive the battle, then the Lord hasn't given me the word. Micaiah was saying, the Lord has told me you will die when you go up to battle. And that's what happened. He died. A man drew a bow at a venture. And the bow struck him between his harnesses. And he died there in his chariot. Micaiah was the man who had a word from the Lord. That's what we need in our time of distress. We need a word from the Lord. We come to God's house betimes, and we come in our distress, perhaps. We come in our predicament. We come in our state of helplessness. And before we enter God's house, at home perhaps, before we leave the house, we say, Lord, I need a word from thee today. That's what we need. We need a word from the Lord. We need a word from the Lord to settle us, to calm us, to give us assurance that the Lord will help us. Next, we have the pronouncement. Jehoshaphat, upon hearing about Elisha, declared the word of the Lord is with him. The king was obviously aware that Elisha was a true prophet of the Lord. He was sure that he would get a word from Elisha. A word to help him. A word to strengthen him in his weakness. A word to steer him through the wilderness. A word to settle him in his worry. It's not the kind of word we want when things don't seem to be going our way. We need a word just to settle us. Just to give us some peace of mind. A word that will guide us and steer us through the wilderness. Because sometimes we find ourselves in the wilderness. There doesn't seem to be any help. A word that will assure us. everything will be all right. Isn't that just what we need? Just for the Lord to tell us everything's going to be all right. My, when you get a word like that from God, you can put your head on the pillow at night and get a good night's sleep. As the psalmist said, Psalm 119, verse 50, this is my comfort in my affliction. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. It's my comfort. Thy word is my comfort in my affliction. Help for the helpless. And it comes through the word. We notice also the interview with Elisha. Upon being told about Elisha, the three kings went down to him. Verse 12. And the interview did not get off to a very good start. You'll notice, first of all, the rebuke. The rebuke. Here we find that Elisha did not hold back whenever he saw Jehoram, the king of Israel. Because we read in verse 13, and Elisha said unto the king of Israel, what have I to do with thee? Get thee to the prophets of thy father and to the prophets of thy mother. What are you coming to see me for? Why didn't you go to your own gods? Why didn't you go to the gods you've been worshipping? Why didn't you go to your own prophets? Why didn't you consult the prophets of Baal? Why have you come to me? My, that was a strong rebuke. The God of Elijah responded to the prayer of the prophet. The God of Elijah is our God, not the God of Jehoram. He had many gods that he worshipped, but they weren't much good to him now. They weren't much good to him whenever he was there in the wilderness and no water for his cattle or for his men. And this is what Elisha was challenging him. What are you doing here? Why don't you go to your own gods? See, false gods aren't much good in a time of trouble. False gods aren't much good at a time of helplessness. Because they've eyes, but they can't see. They've ears, but they can't hear. They've hands, but they can't help. They're just dead, inanimate objects. But our God, the God of Elijah, the God of Elisha, is a God who's able to furnish a table in the wilderness. Psalm 78, verse 19. He is the God who is able to bring water out of a rock. Psalm 78, verse 19 again. He is able to make the desert blossom as the rose. He who is able to send raindrops out of blue skies is our God. He's able to help us in our helpless situation. No matter how helpless the situation may appear to be, and no matter how hopeless, there's a God in heaven. And he's the God of Elijah, and he's the God of Elisha, and he's the God of Abraham, and he's the God of Jacob, and he's the God of Isaac, and he's our God. And there is no situation that we may find ourselves in that God cannot help us. Because remark what Elisha said. He said he would supply the water, and as well as that, he would defeat Moab. And what did he say? This is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. Jehoram had given up. We're going to die at the hand of the king of Moab. But the Lord supplied the water. And the Lord defeated the king of Moab and gave the king of Moab and his armies into the hand of the kings of Israel and Judah and Edom. And Elisha said, this is but a light thing. And you think of the predicaments you found yourself in and may even yet find yourself in, and you're worried and you panic and you wonder, what am I going to do? Just remember, the God of Elisha, whatever needs to be done, it's only a light thing in the eyes of the Lord. It's impossible for us, but in the eyes of the Lord, it's a light thing. You have the rebuke and then you have the reply. The prophet was incensed when he saw and heard from the king of Israel. Verse 14, and Elisha said, as the Lord of hosts liveth before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, I wouldn't even look at you. I would not look toward thee nor see thee if it wasn't for Jehoshaphat. Elisha said, I find it even hard to look at you because you had no time for my God. You had no time for the God of Israel. And you went after other gods. And now when you're in trouble, you come to me and you want the God of my God to help you. That was Elisha's reply. This idol worshipper came seeking help of the God of heaven. This, of course, is not a new thing. Because when men and women of the world, they find themselves in trouble, who do they look to? They want God to come and help them. When soldiers are ready to go into battle, and maybe the next day they have to go out and face the enemy, and the chaplain goes to minister unto them before the hour of battle, those soldiers get very religious because they know they may not come back. They get very religious. But when the battle's over and they do return alive, their religion evaporates and it's soon gone. Again, as we said last week, there are many who look upon the God of heaven as just an old kindly gentleman there to help them in their time of trouble. That's their view of God. It is. And other times they can go and live for the devil. And live like the devil. But when trouble comes, they get very religious. Until the trouble passes. And they're back. Into the mire of sin. For many, God is only there to help them. That's how they view the God of heaven. You recall Hezekiah. When Hezekiah told to set his house in order because he would die and not live. Hezekiah, of course, was a godly man. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed. and wept. And Isaiah, God's servant, came back to tell Hezekiah the Lord had added to his days 15 years. 15 years. He'd been healed by the Lord. But you know what happened to Hezekiah? After being humbled and brought low, and he wept and cried to God in prayer, an ungodly king came to him, the king of Babylon, and he brought him into his house, and he showed him everything he had. From being humbled, told he was going to die and not live, his heart was lifted up with pride. If you like, he showed off. He was showing off. He was showing this ungodly king all that he had. And when he was challenged about it, he was told, "You've committed a great sin. And everything you have will one day be taken away from you." It can happen so easily. We look to the Lord in our time of need, of desperation, and we're humbled and we're brought low, and we'll do anything to be delivered. But whenever the deliverance comes and help comes to the helpless, how is it we soon forget? And we're not as humble as we were when we were down and out and beat. Elisha said, "If it was not for Jehoshaphat, I wouldn't even look at you." And you know, believer, in our times of helplessness, it's good to have other believers with us. It was for the sake of Jehoshaphat that God brought deliverance to the king of Israel, Jehoram. It was for sake of Jehoshaphat. If Jehoshaphat had not have been there, Elisha says he wouldn't even have looked towards this ungodly king. And that reminds us of what the Lord said to Abraham. When Abraham was interceding for the cities of the plain, the Lord told Abraham, "For the sake of the righteous, I will deliver Sodom and Gomorrah. If there be 50 righteous," the Lord said, "if there be 50 righteous, I will deliver the cities." And the Lord went right down to 10. For the sake of the righteous. You know what happened? Elijah stopped praying at 10. If Abraham had gone on praying and said, "If there be one righteous in the city, I believe God would have spared Sodom and Gomorrah. He would do it for the righteous." And he delivered the three kings and their armies for the sake of the righteous. Help for the helpless. In the last place, and quickly, we have the instructions from Elisha. The three kings and their armies were in a helpless situation. In the wilderness with no water for the host and for the cattle that followed them. And also they feared the king of Moab. But the fact that Elisha had received a word from the Lord, he then delivered that word to the kings. And he gave them instruction. And the fact that Elisha received a word from the Lord to give to the kings was an indication God was going to help them. Just what we said earlier on. It's good when we get a word from the Lord, and the word tells us, the Lord tells us, everything's going to be all right. I'll work it out. Don't worry. Don't lose any sleep over the matter. I'll work it all out. I'll bring help to the helpless. My, isn't it good when you get a word like that? Good when you get a word like that. Notice, first of all, the preparation. What was the word of the Lord that came through Elisha? Verse 16, or rather verse 15. Now bring me a minstrel. And came to pass when the minstrel played, that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. That was the preparation. If God was going to work and bring deliverance, then the people had to prepare for the Lord's deliverance. They had to make the valley full of ditches. And so, believer, when we, in our helplessness, receive a word from the Lord, a word of instruction, we must then obey and prepare for the Lord's deliverance. When you feel weakest, dangers surround. Subtle temptations, troubles abide. Nothing seems hopeful. Nothing seems glad. All is despairing, even time sad. Keep on believing. Jesus is near. Keep on believing. There's nothing to fear. Keep on believing. This is the way. Faith in the night as well as the day. And here the three kings were going through a nighttime experience. And Elisha said, I want you to make this valley full of ditches. They had to do it by faith. Well, if the word of the Lord has told us to do this, we need to do it. And so they had to believe God. They had to believe His word. And believer, again, when we get a word from the Lord, and it's a word of comfort, and it's a word to settle us, and it's a word that tells us everything's going to be all right, we need to believe it. We need to take it to heart and say, I believe God. As Abraham said, I believe God. We need to believe God too. There's no point asking the Lord for deliverance and asking the Lord for a word if we don't take the word to heart. You have the preparation, you have the plan. Verse 17, thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain, yet the valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink both ye and your cattle and your beasts. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. That was the plan. Notice here the mystery. Regarding this plan, there's a great mystery. The Lord would fill the valley with water, but He said, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain. This the Lord would do in a way that the three kings could not explain. Have you ever had the Lord intervene in your situation in a way that you just cannot explain? Whether it was by the Lord's providence or by His power, the Lord has brought us out of our helpless situation And you say, I can't explain it. What the Lord has done for me. Here the Lord was going to give water to the land and fill the valley full of ditches and fill the ditches full of water. And they wouldn't see wind and they wouldn't see rain. Yet the Lord was still going to do it. And sometimes the Lord's help comes to us in a way we can't explain. See, that's the God we worship. And when we see what the Lord does and how He helps us, we are able to say with the psalmist, this is the Lord's doing. And it's marvelous in our eyes. The word marvelous is the word that means wonderful. Now what we say, this is wonderful. Look what the Lord has done. It is wonderful. He has helped us in our helplessness. You have the mystery of the Lord and you have the might of the Lord. For the Lord told the kings that He would not only supply the water, but He would deliver the Moabites also into your hand. Like that word, also. Also. The Lord never shortchanges His people. He would give them the water, but He would also defeat Moab. Deliver them into their hand. You notice the provision. Again in verse 20. And it came to pass in the morning. Things don't look too good at night, sure they don't. In fact, whenever you have a problem facing you and a predicament, and you think about it at night at about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, it seems about 10 times worse. But in the morning. The Lord always comes to us in the morning. Like John 21, the disciples fished all night, caught nothing, and it says, in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore. Praise God. Christ will banish the darkness of the night and He'll bring with Him the sunshine of the morning because He's the bright and the morning star. When you see the morning star, you know that dawn's not far away. And here in the morning, the Lord supplied the water. There came water. This is another amazing thing. There came water by the way of Edom. But it was a wilderness. You wouldn't expect the water to come from the wilderness of Edom. But that's where it came from. That's where it was flowing from. And once again, that teaches us that very often our help comes from an unexpected source. From an unexpected direction. From an unexpected way. From a way that we never would think possible. That's our God. And I just want to go back on something there. And Elisha said in verse 15, now bring me a minstrel. And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. You see, Elisha was so agitated when he saw the king of Israel, this idol-worshipping king, coming to him for help, and coming to the God of heaven. He was so agitated. Before he received a word from the Lord, he needed his spirits calm. And so a minstrel came and played for him and helped to soothe his mind because he was going to receive a word from the Lord. My, there's a great lesson to be learned there. When we come to the Lord's house, we need to be in the right frame of mind to receive a word. And that shows us the importance of engaging in the singing of our psalms and the singing of our hymns. Helps to prepare us to receive a word from the Lord. It was a musical instrument that prepared Elisha. Put him in the right frame of mind to receive a word from the Lord. You can read the rest of the chapter, how the Lord brought deliverance. The sun rose up and it shone upon the waters, and the Moabites thought they'd been defeated. And Israel went against the Moabites and conquered them. They saw the water and it looked like blood. And they ran upon Israel. But they ran into an ambush. God gave them the water and he also gave them the also. The Lord always gives us the also, more than what we ask for. Help for the helpless. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let us pray. O loving and gracious God, bless thee. We bless thee. We do indeed praise thee that thou art our help in our time of need. When we feel helpless, when, Lord, we feel we're in a wilderness, when we feel at times we cannot go on, we rejoice that thou dost come and give us a word that settles us, a word that tells us everything will be all right, because this is a light thing. Lord, I pray thou would write this word upon our hearts and use it, Lord, to encourage us all. And in our time of need, in our times when we need direction, help us, Lord, not to look for the convenient ship, as Jonah did, but help us, Lord, to look up and know that the Lord will direct us in all our ways. Bless us, Lord, as we part the one from the other tonight. Be with us as we make our way home, and be with us throughout this week. May we be conscious, Lord, indeed, that thou art with us. And keep us all in good health, that we might serve thee. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.